Hey, gang. Happy Kwanzaa. It's still Kwanzaa. We're doing our Kwanzaa shows. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio, the Patrick and Jeremy show on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Go there. Spread some Kwanzaa cheer. Or what? I don't know. I'm trying to do a Kwanzaa accent. I really don't know how it sounds. But you can go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send a Kwanzaa cheer. And go to nationalbugle.com, and you can download the Koshertified app and find out whether your Kwanzaa feast is kosher certified or not. It will help you with that. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, and I'm doing my Kwanzaa feast with the fried chicken. Ham hocks, black eyed peas. I'm binge watching Sanford and Son and Shaft tonight.
Shaft, you know it. Right on. Well, so what else would we talk about with only a few more shows to go before the big January 6th, which is next Wednesday? And of course, we will have Thursday and Friday shows, but they have to be pre-recorded and submitted by Wednesday night. So we'll be talking about next Wednesday's big showdown, and there's only a few shows left. So what are the prospects? Is there a path forward for Trump? And regardless of that question, the second question is there a path forward for the Republic?
Well, as we discussed on my show last night, the Pence could actually reject the Democratic electors when he counts the votes. And there's a lawsuit pending here on Pence by a GOP congressman from Texas. That would be Louie Gohmert. And it says here in Bloomberg.com, Republican congressman from Texas sued Vice President Mike Pence in the latest long shot effort to reverse President-elect Joe Biden's victory over Donald Trump. You gotta love Bloomberg's wording of this, right? In the lawsuit, Representative Louie Gohmert seeks a court order forcing the vice president to acknowledge what Gohmert claims is Pence's power to disregard states' chosen Democratic electors and instead select competing slates of GOP electors on January 6th. And as we know, these states sent both electors in. So what do you make of this, and what is the constitutionality?
So the Constitution says that the vice president shall open the votes, or the certificates of the votes, in the presence of the joint session of Congress, and the votes shall be counted. It's in the passive voice, so it's hard to know who is counting the votes, but we do know who's opening the votes. And I think what's going on with this lawsuit is it's trying to force Pence to acknowledge that he could reject votes. Now, reject votes that he sees as unconstitutional. Now, that wouldn't necessarily stop the whole objection process. If he rejects Democrat votes, Biden votes that he says are unconstitutional, and reads the Trump votes, there will be an objection to the Trump votes. So you're still going to get an objection, but it potentially could change home turf, so to speak, because instead of having two sets of electors that are being objected to, where you have to decide between one set or another, and if the two bodies don't agree, then there's that tiebreaker that Russ Limbaugh was talking about, where by the I think it's the Electoral Counting Act of 1887 or something like that stipulates that if the two bodies don't agree on which set of electoral votes to count, then the votes that were certified by the executive of the state would be the ones to be counted. Now, the thing is, what Pence could do by refusing to open the electoral votes from the Biden electors, well, then you'd only have one set of votes. And if you're not choosing between two sets of votes, but simply trying to determine whether one set is valid or not, then you would have, it would require both the Senate and the House to reject the votes. And of course, the Senate presumably would not reject the votes. But even if the Senate rejected the votes, then you'd have no votes from Pennsylvania or Georgia or Michigan or the other states, which would throw the election into the House of Representatives. So I'm not a judicial specialist, but I think what Gohmert is doing in part is forcing Pence to either concede the case, which would mean acknowledge that he has this power, publicly acknowledge that he has the ability to disregard unconstitutional electoral votes, or otherwise he'd have to appear as a defendant and argue that he does not have the power. I think there's something like that to it. Am I missing anything, or do you read anything into this that I'm not?
I wanted to make an observation and get your take on it. Well, first of all, Pence scheduled a trip to Israel on the 6th. So he's getting out of Dodge.
He's not getting out. We're not letting him out.
He's going.
I don't know what airport he thinks he's flying from. He's not getting there.
He's going to strap on the yarmulke, my guy, and be at the Wailing Wall on the 7th. You can bet your ass on that. But here's what I was going to say. If Gohmert did not do this lawsuit, and if they just let this play out, I know we have at least 12 congressmen that are going to contest the electoral votes. Nobody in the Senate as of yet. And the name of the game is to get this thrown into the House of Representatives. That's, I think, our path to victory, to get the Congress to straight up vote on the president. So if this lawsuit didn't happen, they could very well just plow on through this as business as usual. But now that Pence seems like this lawsuit's going to force his hand, if Pence does reject those votes, then you know there's going to be contests from the other side. There's going to be a Democrat congressmen and senators that are going to contest this, and it'll get thrown to the House of Representatives. You see what I mean? Like, maybe this whole play, maybe the shot here is to get this thrown into the House of Representatives no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a few things. So there's that, and then who was it? It wasn't Gohmert, but it was another congressman. Mo Brooks was saying that the objections, when the objections are ruled on by the House and Senate respectively, the House should have to vote on the objections according to the one vote per state rule, which is how they would vote for the president. And, you know, on the one hand, I don't think it's ever been specified how these objections, the process for the objections is not written into the Constitution. It is in that 1887 law. And then I think further codified in a 1949 law. And I don't think it specifies how they should vote, but there have been votes in the past. There is a precedent. And Ohio's votes in 2004, you did have a successful, well, when I say successful challenge, you had an objection from the, I think it was was it Barbara? Well, Barbara Boxer was the senator who signed on. I don't know who the congresswoman was or congressman. And so they retired and they deliberated for 2 hours on Ohio's electoral votes and then came back and you know, Bush won them and he got the election. And I would assume that when the House of Representatives voted, they probably voted by person and not by state. So that if that's the case, that would tend to weaken Mo Brooks's argument, weaken it, but who knows? And who would rule on such a thing? I would think it would be Mike Pence, the chairman, who would rule on it. The chairman would rule on it. You know, there is a parliamentarian who could get involved, but the parliamentarian doesn't have a vote. So I don't really know. There's all sorts of things, and there's things that we're not even thinking of yet, and maybe nobody's thinking of yet. So there's that. There, you have an article of analysis on this, don't you?
Well, I wanted to switch real quick to Rasmussen. Based okay. Rasmussen calls on Pence to reject electoral votes for Biden from battleground states. This is interesting. Rasmussen is urging Vice President Mike Pence to ignore the 2020 election results. When Congress moves to clarify Joe Biden's victory in the Electoral College next week, the conservative-leaning pollster and opinion outlet amplified a column that begins with a quote attributed to Russian dictator Joseph Stalin, mm-hmm. which says that those who cast the votes decide nothing. Those mm-hmm. who count the votes decide everything. Mm-hmm. What a bias in this article, but very interesting that Rasmussen put this out. I mean, what do you make of this?
Well, I mean, the Rasmussen polls have been much more accurate. Rasmussen was much closer than any of the other major polls for the 2016 election. And if Rasmussen has been doing polling all year and, you know, polled tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of individuals, he may well be in a position to at least have a very accurate gut feeling about who won the election and who won these states. And I'd be interested if he was going to, I don't know, back up his feelings with data from his polling. I don't know. Maybe that wouldn't count much, but I think we need more and more prominent people to be calling for this. It helps normalize it. It helps, you know, break any taboo. It helps embolden the people who would be involved. And we're talking about Republicans mostly. But remember, the new Congress, I believe there's only going to be, is it 221 Democrats? Maybe it's 222. A majority is 218. So they've only got a few votes. And remember, in the impeachment, there were three. I'm pretty sure there were three Democratic defectors. Tulsi Gabbard, she abstained. There was one congressman, I don't remember his name. He was from New Jersey. He voted for Trump and then switched parties to the Republicans. And I think there was one other Democrat who voted against impeachment. I could be wrong on that without switching parties. But the idea, I think we have to consider the idea that there could be a few Democratic congressmen who might not want to go back to their constituents who presumably these might be people who are representing districts that are usually Republican and don't want to go back after having been complete traitors.
Yeah, Rasmussen, you know, basically says that Vice President Mike Pence will be presented with the sealed certificates containing the ballots. And at that moment, the presidency will be in his hands. Interesting. The fate of the republic in the hands of Mike Pence, mm-hmm. the Christian Zionist. Mm-hmm. What do you make of his trip to Israel? of his schedule. This is all over the news, and I want to see if you read anything into this, or if it's just maybe just hype.
Yeah, well, I think I heard about it at least 2 weeks ago. It's been in the plans, and there's the idea. Well, he wants to leave Dodge. Now, does that mean he wants to leave Dodge after he has betrayed the Republic, or does he want to leave Dodge after having saved the Republic and then doesn't want to face Black Lives Matter and Antifa? Who knows? Or maybe he just can't wait to get to Israel, and he's been itching to go there, and and had originally thought his job would be done on the 6th. I don't know. It is very, very perverse that Vice President Pence, of all people, but any of these Congress people, would think that they would leave straight from the Capitol and go straight to Israel. Which isn't that supposed to be the first? I mean, I know he's going to what, United Arab Emirates or somewhere else, Bahrain, but still, it's very perverse. This relationship between our politicians and Israel, Congress people in Israel, and all these junkets they take to Israel is very perverse.
There's no extradition treaty, am I right?
Yeah, that's a thought.
That's just the first thing that I come up with. But anyway, this Rasmussen article says the president's position going into January 2021 is thus considerably stronger than the mainstream media would like to admit.
I think so.
There is constitutional language and historical precedent that gives his vice president the unilateral power to decide the outcome of our contested election. So mainstream media is having to admit that, it's not all over yet. Supposed Vice President-elect Biden is not there yet. And that Pence holds the key. So very interesting. I just thought that article would be interesting for us to discuss, and that's why I included it.
Right. And speaking of precedent, the one precedent that I can think of was Vice President Nixon in 1961, after the 1960 election, just failing to open the Republican electoral votes from Hawaii, which were voted for Nixon, but nobody objected to it. So he did set a precedent. He just said something like, "In 1960 language, I don't think we need to go there." But he just refused to open the electoral votes from Hawaii that had been certified by the governor, and instead opened Kennedy electors from Hawaii that had also been certified by the same governor.
Yep. This on the heels of, what do you got? The Senate is going to vote tomorrow on the COVID relief bill. And apparently the Democrats are in favor of the $2,000 a person COVID relief. And it looks like that the Republicans are not. I guess that'll be coming up next, but I don't know, man. I'm trying to figure out the lay of the land here politically, and I can't figure it out. You got Democrats and Republicans, picking their sides here, and it looks like at the last minute that Republicans are against Trump. So I would just wonder, how is this going to play out?
Well, we'll have to get to it on the other side of the break.
Yeah.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
It is great. That's what I say. Let the band rap the plan, say it, sing him home.
Welcome back to the show. So, how to read these two big bills that we've had, and I guess a third week, because we had the Defense Authorization Act, which Trump vetoed, right? He vetoed that. And then the House has already overridden the veto, and I guess the Senate will override the veto too, but that hasn't quite happened yet. I don't think it hasn't happened yet. There was the COVID relief bill, which Trump was going to veto, but then he signed it, supposedly with the agreement that there would be a separate bill that would up the $600 per American, which is the same as, you know, he's already having 600 per Israeli, up to 2,000. And that's that third legislation that would authorize that has passed the House. But it is, according to Andrew Anglin, being cock-blocked by the Senate. Do you want to discuss Andrew's article?
Yeah, you got to hate those cock-blocks. I referenced a Newsbreak article. House passes bill to hike stimulus payments to 2,000, but the Senate prospects are uncertain. That was from a Newsmax article. You mentioned Andrew Anglin's article. Let's get on down here.
Here he's got away with words, right?
He does have a way with words, and should we explain cockblock to the?
It is a frat boy term for somebody who interferes with another man's efforts to court a lady.
If you're at a bar and this really hot chick and she's digging you. And, you know, you're about to take her back to the dorm room, and then your buddy comes, who's the captain of the football team, and 220 pounds and all chin and chest. And, you know, he shows up at your dorm room and wants to play cards or do beer pong. And you're not able to get said young lady into your room. That is a cock block. And the most...
I first heard the term on Saturday Night Live from Will Ferrell, who was on the Weekend Update and was, I guess, doing like a frat boys version of the news. And that's the first time I ever heard the term, because I was not in a frat.
Well, and so to translate that into political lingo, you got Trump demanding $2,000 per person. And the Democrats are agreeing, but the Republicans are going to stick to my values.
Well, we have to read the headline.
Yes. Senate Republicans aggressively cock block money to the peasants, seemingly out of pure hatred.
He does have a way with words.
Andrew England's article. And so you've got Senate Republicans stopping you, John Q. Public, from getting your $2,000 so you can go buy more guns and ammunition just in case you've got to overthrow this bitch. And so they're blocking you from that because they have values all of a sudden. They don't have values when it comes to giving $38 billion to Israel or whatever foreign country you want to insert, but they have values when it comes to giving American citizens and business owners money from the government that will never repay, and the debt's way surpassed $30 trillion, and we're never going to be able to recover from that. So I don't get it. I don't get these Republicans, and I think they're scum of the earth. I don't know. Give me your take on this before I start talking crazy here.
Oh, well, I mean, they are scum of the earth. Like, we have, there was a guy from Texas, Jim Hightower. And I think he said, what did he say? If the gods wanted us to have elections, they would have given us politicians or something like that. I don't know what he said, but it was something along those lines. We don't have leaders. We just have these complete scumbags. In terms of, you know, who's voting for what, because you saw it, in the veto override vote in the House of Representatives, dozens of Republicans joining with the Democrats to override Trump's veto. And now what you're seeing in the with this legislation is it seems like you're having the Republicans line up against Trump's wishes to have the $2,000 check to people. And most Democrats being in favor of it, or most or all. So, and now, I mean, and this all within 8 days of the most important vote that's going to probably happen, you know, in decades, if not in our history, in this Congress. So who knows? I mean, it's all very messed up, but yeah, these Republicans, they've got their values, and their values include you know, standing with our best ally forever, Israel, and they certainly don't stand with us. Okay, let's stop at the break, though. We'll have to get to it on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The Republic Broadcasting Network, late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore, is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443. at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is a man's world. This is a man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
And we are back, and the break kind of mic blocked you, Jeremy. So what were you going to say?
I hate being mic blocked. But yeah, yeah, what I was going to say is, isn't this par for the course? Trump exposing? I mean, I don't know if he's trying to do it or if it was all part of the plan or what. Trump exposing the flaws in the system. Just like you would drink that magical fluid or have it injected in your system and expose the flaws in your physiology. Trump is exposing the Republicans for what they really are. They don't care about the people, and neither do the Democrats. But what I'm saying is that it exposes exactly where their priorities lie, mm-hmm. and that's with foreign power and not with the American people and business owners whom they have conspired to destroy in this hoax COVID-19 lockdown. So, again, he exposes them.
Yeah, and, you know, some of it is probably by design, some of it probably is not, but the fact of the matter is he has exposed an awful lot. And what more and more people hopefully are seeing is that we have a Jewish-dominated elite, and they've been involved in a long-term tribal effort to take the country from the population that founded it and displace that population with random third-world people while consolidating their own position as the ruling elite. And that's what we have. And these politicians, the Congress critters and the governors, and probably to a lesser extent the state legislatures, but they're collaborators in this, and they either know what they're doing and are complicit in it, or they're just stupid. And yeah, there's probably a combination of both. What do you think?
Well, it's definitely the case of Mitch McConnell. You know, the Washington Post said that on Tuesday he blocked consideration. He blocked consideration of a House bill that would deliver $2,000 stimulus payments to most Americans, spurning a request by President Trump, even as more Senate Republicans voiced support for the dramatically larger checks. McConnell's move was the beginning of a saga that is likely to engulf the Senate for the rest of the week. I don't know what McConnell's motivation would be other than that he is paid off by these aforementioned Jewish-dominated elites, and that they don't want the American people to receive any kind of stimulus or recovery. They want them to be crushed. And but it's perfectly fine to give $38 billion to Israel. That's where McConnell lies. And so, yeah, your critique on the Senate Republicans and the politicians in general is spot on.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. The you know, Republicans and the Democrats, they've been able to go for decades with like in the case of the Republicans, they have their principles, and you know, it's defending us against these evil countries like you know, Russia, China, Iran, standing with Israel, protecting Israel. And then at home, small government. Well, small government except when it comes to fighting wars for Israel. Small government and taxation, fiscal responsibility. And then, you know, a few cultural things. They're pro-life, but of course, there's really never any movement on that, really. And all of these things, they could be proud about their principles. But when you get down to it, when you see, like, the entire... like Rome burning, everything's burning, and their principles of fiscal responsibility, which is the hill they're standing on right now, really seems pretty insignificant. And I honestly don't care that one way or another that much about these bills. I mean, well, I shouldn't say these bills, but this particular thing of 600 or 2,000. I mean, the main thing is people shouldn't be locked in their homes. They shouldn't be locked down. They shouldn't be prevented from working. That's the main thing. But when everything is just – when our country is just collapsing and, you know, they pick this hill to stand on, I don't know. It just seems so ludicrous. What do you think?
Yeah, and the Senate runoff in Georgia is reacting to this. I've got this MSNBC article pulled up, and basically it says that new proponents of the $2,000 checks – include Georgia's two embattled Republican senators, David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, who find themselves in tough reelection battles that will decide the fate of the chamber next week. And so Loeffler and Perdue, they're both going along with the $2,000 offer. You know, they see which way the wind's blowing, which side the bread's buttered, whatever you want to say. And they're wanting to win this no matter what. But isn't that interesting that they have jumped on board of the $2,000 stimulus in order to get elected and maintain their seats?
It's interesting. Why aren't they proposing that they will sign on to objections against the electoral votes?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they're not going all out. They're doing what it takes to get their seats, just what it takes.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is just something that's not in the prep, but I'm going to interject it here. Tulsi Gabbard and a Kentucky congressman, Massey, I'm not quite sure what his first name is, have introduced legislation that would repeal the Patriot Act and also something else. I can't remember what the something else was. But you know, now she's only going to be in Congress for a few more days because she didn't run for re-election, and so she will be out as of January 3rd. But that's, I mean, that's something. You would like to, that's the type of principle that, you know, you could admire or approve of. Oh, well, where do we go from here?
Massey and Gabbard team up on a bill to repeal the Patriot Act. Tulsi does not fail to come through for us. Tulsi completely destroyed Kamala Harris in the Democratic debates and showed us that Kamala does not have the support of the people. Actually, Tulsi did. But also, Tulsi now is getting on board with this Republican, Kentucky congressman to get rid of the Patriot Act. I think she's a good gal. Let's see, who it is? Thomas Massey, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the Republican from Kentucky's name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it was. Thomas Massey and Tulsi Gabbard have teamed up to introduce a bill designed to repeal the Patriot Act. Too little, too late. Maybe symbolic because it's already been done, and they're not going to quit.
Yeah,
but I give her an E for effort.
Yeah, and you know, to find a Republican to team up with, and you know, that's the thing. She did not vote for impeachment. She broke with her party there. So she's breaking with her party on important things, and. I had somebody send me something today. It was like 75 seconds. It was like the election steal in 75, or the plan in 75 seconds. And it was kind of, it was probably a QAnon type of thing. And it wasn't the greatest, but it was actually like 2020 in 75 seconds. And it's showing a lot of stuff. And when they talked about, like, okay, you get a fake candidate, and they show Tulsi Gabbard. No, not that. No, not her. And then they show Joe Biden, him. And it was just kind of interesting that whoever put together this video used Tulsi Gabbard as, she's not the fake candidate. She's not fake. Yeah, he's fake. And, you know, she in a way, she really seemed the closest thing to a sincere person. Not 100%, but the closest thing to a sincere person that we saw in the, a year ago, when we were still thinking that we were going to have a presidential election. God, we were silly, weren't we?
Oh, you sweet, sweet summer child.
We thought we were going to have an election. God.
So, yeah, and, you know, where we're at right now is the billionaire class has basically taken all the wealth from us. Amidst this election fraud and the coronavirus lockdown. So I don't know. I got a good article here on from Stormer.
Yes?
That was me dropping my phone, which may
That may or may not get edited out of the show. We'll see.
Meanwhile, in the billionaire class, Australian billionaires just rack up the money. You know, kind of like how, what's his name? Bezos has greatly benefited from the lockdowns. The Australian billionaire wealth has increased by 50% during the lockdowns. Lockdowns are what we have to look forward to if we have Biden and Harris come in, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be this whole global thing where we will be locked down and certain businesses can remain open, like Walmart, and you can order on Amazon, but you can't go down the road to your mom and pop store to have a nice dinner. Or you can't go to the barber to get your hair cut. Very, very weird. But this. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say it's a little. A year ago or so, you said that Biden would win the nomination. I don't know if you said he'd win the presidency, but you said he'd win the nomination. I said he'd never win a delegate. He'd never win a primary. Do we know which one of us was right?
We're both not wrong.
Thanks.
Can we tell?
Biden got the nomination, but he did not legitimately win. Bernie would have legitimately, you know, we all know that. So you were right and I was right. That's wrong.
Yeah. But this billionaire from Australia, does he have a name? And what kind of billionaire is he? How did he amass his fortune?
It's billionaires in general.
Oh, billionaires in general.
Yeah, Australian billionaire wealth class increased by 50%. This is an Andrew England article. And he quotes The Guardian, the combined wealth of Australian billionaires has risen by more than 50% over the past year. The new figures show, prompting concerns that the pandemic-triggered recession has turbocharged the gap between the rich and the poor. That almost sounds to me, Patrick, like it was engineered to do so. Mm. Would I be so conspiratorial to say so?
No, as a matter of fact. While I am not one who sees plans everywhere, I will say that if you wanted the billionaires to increase their wealth by 50% in a year, I think you would do exactly what happened this year. You would make such a plan if that's what you wanted. Doesn't mean it happened that way. But, you know, I don't know if they're billionaires. They may well be. You know the Wiggles?
The Wiggles. No, I'm not familiar.
It's a kids band. It used to be the Cockroaches. They were like a punk rock band from the 1980s or early 90s. And then they became a kids band. They're the Wiggles. And they were, for a while, the biggest earning entertainment act or musical act in Australia. And if anybody deserves it, they would. It's good music.
Well, this article goes on to say the combined net worth of Australia's billionaires dropped in March when COVID-19 restrictions ramped up before rebounding strongly and increasing throughout the course of the year, according to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index. The combined worth of Australian billionaires was assessed to be 52.4% higher this week than at the same time last December. This is just another trend we see of the wealth transfer to the upper 2%
mm-hmm.
out of the working class. It's a destruction of the working class on a global scale,
mm-hmm.
right?
And you know something? I think because people keep waiting for the hyperinflation, we're printing all this money. We're going to get hyperinflation. I think the reason you haven't gotten hyperinflation yet and why you may not get it is because the money that's being printed, it's not really going into the hands of regular people who then use it to chase around goods and services. It winds up going to the billionaire class or the, you know, multimillionaire class who use it for investments. And that's what's pushing up the stock market. So you are getting all this inflation, but it's an inflation of asset prices. It's inflation of stock prices. And I think that's what you're seeing there.
That would really explain why the economy is utterly destroyed, but the stock market just goes on merrily along, right?
That would explain it.
It's not really affected.
It's been surging. You know, in
big line,
whatever. But Tesla's shares in particular, which, you know, why Tesla? But Tesla at the beginning, I don't have a chart in front of me, but at the beginning of January, compared to now, it's probably gone up by at least six or seven times. Like, and compared to a couple of years ago, it's up by, I think, 11 or 1200%. And that's made.
Well, yeah,
it's made Elon Musk from just kind of a run-of-the-mill billionaire into maybe the third richest person on Earth. Now he's chasing. He's closing in on what's his name, Bezos.
Well, as you've pointed out, it's not us normal people that make money off the stock market because we don't have millions or billions to put into it, but it is the upper elite that make money on it and speculate. It's really just fake money. It's not real. The economy is based on goods and services exchanged, but the stock market really is just fake. I mean, I don't know any better way to put it. It's money created out of nothing.
Well, we are coming up on the break, so, and you are listening to The Wiggles.
Let's all crack together! Hey, I got one, guys!
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back to the show. So, we are at the bottom of the stack. What do we have here?
Very odd bombing that happened on Christmas Day in Nashville. And the AT&T building was supposedly targeted, as was the Hooters, which I've been to.
Have you been to the Hooters there?
Regrettably, yes. The waitresses are fat and brown, predominantly. But that aside...
So what was the motivation? Was it the anger at the fat, brown Hooters waitresses? Is that why the Hooters was bombed?
Well, one could make that case.
I think that's made that case.
English... But the AT&T building was hit, and it wasn't destroyed, but communications was disrupted. All of my friends that use AT&T cell phones had no service for 30 hours.
Really?
Walmarts. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Walmart and different, Walmart CVSs, and Walgreens in the area of Kentucky, southern Illinois, northern Tennessee, they could not take debit cards or process electronic checks.
Wow.
For about 30 hours. So
about the Hooters skanks.
Yeah, I mean, the Hooters skanks, that even though that could have been the primary, I mean, the collateral damage was huge. AT&T communications was disrupted in the form of cell phone internet, mm-hmm. processing debit cards at department stores, Walmart, Walgreens. That was all over maybe three or four states. So there was something to this, and it smacks of FBI to mm-hmm. me. And then there is a QAnon take, if you would mm-hmm. like me to share that real quick. The QAnon take, which I'm not completely divorced from, is that there were Dominion voting machine records held in that AT&T building, and that the explosion was an attempt to erase that information mm-hmm. by our FBI, who is hostile to our president. Now, I want to turn it over to you, the calm, cool, and collected political scientist, to tell me what you make of the Nashville bombing, because I'm at a loss for words. I don't know whether to go QAnon or whether it was to get rid of the skanks at Hooters.
Well, if there were indeed Dominion voting machines in there, if it comes out that there were Dominion voting machines in there, then QAnon take would have a lot of credibility. I guess my take in this last minute of the show, I'm surprised how much collateral damage, how much damage there was to the communications and financial system from a bombing in downtown Nashville. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised about having a important communications hub somewhere. But to have it downtown Nashville next to the Hooters, the building next to the Hooters gets bombed, and you have that level of disruption, kind of surprises me. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised. Maybe these hubs are all over in plain sight. Who knows?
It was really bad Hooters, and they were very skanky. But I will say that if my dad does bulldozer work, excavation work, and in a small town country road, if he does not get the land flagged where he's digging, he could disrupt communications for four or five states around.
Wow.
If he unearths fiber optics from four or five states around, if he digs in the wrong place, out in the middle of nowhere. So, I know for a fact that the bombing of this AT&T building disrupted thousands of people who have AT&T service, thousands of Walmarts, CVS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we are up at the end of the show, but thank you so much for joining me, Jeremy, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, and Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National People Radio.
Make me feel so brand new.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.